My name is Scott Smelser. I'm from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. My wife and six are with us today. The oldest is off and married down in Tennessee. We're very happy to be with you. What we're going to be talking today is common pitfalls to avoid. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. There's no such thing as perfect kids. And kids make mistakes and parents make mistakes. One of the things that's important for us as parents to do is to be able to admit when we make our mistakes. One of the things that came up in our question and discussion session yesterday was the subject of apologies and having children make apologies when they do something wrong. Not just punishing them, but training their heart, getting them to realize what they did wrong and saying they're sorry. Sometimes we as parents need to do that too, because we look and we realize, I didn't handle that well. And one of the things about that is this. If I never apologize to my kids, is that going to convince them that I'm the perfect parent? No, it's not going to fool anybody. So being able to recognize sometimes when we make mistakes is important. I've made mistakes. You, I presume, have made some mistakes. And here's some common mistakes, though, that we want to aim to avoid. Sometimes we learn it by trial and error. Sometimes we learn it by sitting down and, oh, this is what the scripture says. But we'll begin through here with the first big one, which is failing to discipline. Number one, we're going to be going through 13 of these this morning, and then later this morning and tonight. And you can see an example of this just about any time you go out in public and see misbehaved kids. They're totally out of control. They won't obey. They won't obey their parents. They won't obey other figures of authority. And it's because there's been a failure to discipline. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. What's one of the reasons that a lot of people don't punish their children? There's a number of reasons. What are some of them? Yeah. And some kids will manipulate that. Some children who have not been disciplined much, if they receive some discipline, then they use that. They, you know, they say, oh, you're doing this to me. You hate me. I hate you. And that's a little manipulation game. It's, I'm going to make mom feel bad. I'm going to make dad feel bad. And if we react then, oh, I better not punish my child, who's in control? Yeah, that's the child training the parent not to train the child. What job did God give us? Train your children. What's some other reasons that some people don't want to punish their children? Yeah, and they think, oh, that'll, some people think punishing a child is going to create, you know, bad things in the child. The Bible says that punishing a child is good for the child. Hebrews says that chastening is not for the moment joyous, but grievous, but it yields peaceful results. He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. That's the wrong way. There we go. When you're making a pot, you know, it's soft and pliable at the beginning, but after a while, what happens to that clay? It gets set, and you're not going to be able to do much with it. I keep clicking the wrong button. I'll get it straight in a minute. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Proverbs 23:13. He may sound like it. He may want you to think it. He's not going to die. There's, you know what, we've got a generation now where they think, oh, you can't spank a child. How many of your grandparents were brought up by people who thought they couldn't be spanked? You know, our grandparents were spanked. Their parents were spanked. Their parents were spanked. Their parents were spanked. Unfortunately, along the line, there were also some people that did what? There were people that abused children, and that's wrong. We're not talking about abusing children. We're not talking about taking out our anger on the child. We're talking about training, loving training, discipline for a child. And it's been very effective for generations and generations and generations of people, and it's taught in the Word of God. The rod and reproof bring wisdom, Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Isn't that a fact? We're going to talk later more about the importance of rod and reproof, not just one and not just the other. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Don't correct your son, and what's he going to give you? He's going to give you grief, and it's going to get worse and worse. And these are examples we went over yesterday. We won't repeat those today. Then we also talked about yesterday rewarding misbehavior. If I were to ask most people, would you reward misbehavior from your children? Most people would think, what? Of course not. You know, oh, you sassed your mother? Here's a 10. You know. Oh, and you slapped your sister? There's 20. Of course we would never, ever reward misbehavior. Parents reward misbehavior all the time. And you know who knows it? The kids. Why do children throw temper tantrums? Yes. Why does a temper tantrum get their way? Mom's going through the grocery store, and he says, I want that. And she thinks, yeah, that was a good thing to get. She gets that a minute later. Oh, I want that. And she says, no, there's reason she has it. She thinks, no, we shouldn't get that. But he's decided he wants that. I want it. Give it to me. Give it. She says, no. And then what does he do? Well, he might take it, but if he's in the buggy and he can't reach it, starts screaming, kicking. And, of course, by his screaming, what's he intentionally doing? Yes. Do you suppose this is the first time these two have ever gone through this routine? Do you think he's figured out how this works? Yes, he's figured out how this works. And, of course, phase two is she starts saying, shh, no, be quiet. Shh, you're embarrassing your mother. He's right. That's exactly what I want to do. So, he continues to pitch the fit. More and more people are looking over their shoulder and such. Oh, thank you very much. And this is exactly what the child needs to happen. So he increases his tantrum. She keeps saying, no, stop it. You're embarrassing me. Then finally, he gets louder and louder, kicking, screaming. Then what does the mom do? Yeah. That's what mom should do. But too many moms, little girl said, spank him. That's right. Out of the mouth of babes. Too many moms say, okay, oh, here, now be quiet. Ching. He got what he wanted. What did she just do? She rewarded misbehavior. Now, if you're training a dog and you give him a milk bone every time he bites somebody, what are you training? If you give him a milk bone when he makes a mess in the floor, what are you training? When parents do this, they're rewarding misbehavior and they're going to get more of it. Lowering the bar, accommodating and facilitating misbehavior. And it can go like this. Here's Mom A, and she's got her little guys here, and her friend has come to visit. Here's Mom B, and she's got a little bit bigger guy. Now, the kids here at home are maybe age 1, 2, and 3, and they're sitting there and we're watching a video like Barney or something. Well, the mom with the older boy comes in to visit, and they're having their tea and talking about whatever they're talking about. And this boy comes in here, and he doesn't want to watch Barney. he wants to watch Power Rangers or something. So he comes over there and he starts talking about, that's stupid. And they, and he says, and I'm going to turn this off. And the little one-year-old's going, oh, and, but he just pushes his way through, bullies his way through. And they say, no, we want to watch. And he just pushes the little kids down. He takes the other video. He's sticking it in. The cries are getting louder. The two moms get in there. They see what's going on. And Mom B starts off like this. Oh, Junior, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't push. You need to be nice to the other children. You should share. Oh. And she said all the nice words, and now she's not going to require him to do any of it. Oh, do you have maybe a video recorder in another room where maybe my son could watch his Power Rangers and yours could watch? What did she just do? Yeah, she said the words because she knows she's a little bit embarrassed, you know. And so she said, oh, you shouldn't do that. But then she doesn't require him to change his behavior at all. She just makes it easier so that he gets what he wants but doesn't have to change his character. Is that little brat and that little bully, does he need to change his character? Can you think of a better time to teach him that than right here and now, when he's just done this? What better time, when he's refusing to share, to teach him to share? What better time than this, when he's bullying other children, to teach him that he can't do that? He doesn't need to get his way here. He doesn't need to be rewarded. His conduct doesn't need to be facilitated. What does he need? This little girl knows what he needs. He needs to be punished. He needs to be spanked. He needs to be explained very thoroughly about this. And he needs to apologize to those other children. And I think he needs to sit down and watch some Barney. This is the only time I think of that I'd ever recommend somebody watch Barney. But in that particular episode, I think punishment might fit the crime a little bit after the spanking. What did God do to the Israelites when they kept whining about the wilderness? Left them in it. That's right. Did you ever think about that? The one thing they didn't want. We hate this wilderness. It'd be better to go back to Egypt. Guess what they got? Yeah. They got grounded. Okay. Letting a child get his way is not doing him a favor. It will spoil him. I forgot to click this one. Sorry about that. And then next, letting a child get his way will not satisfy him. It will spoil him. Have you ever noticed those children that insist on getting their way about everything? When it comes to the table, you know, I don't want that. I don't want that. Okay, what do you want? I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you make them peanut butter and jelly sandwich and they go, I don't want it. Is that a satisfied child? No. The importance of boundaries. Children need boundaries. One of the families yesterday was talking about a relative that came and stayed with them where there were no boundaries in the home. And then they explained, we're going to have boundaries. We're going to have rules. The child liked that eventually. The child learned, children need that. There was an experiment done with children in a playground. And there was a playground without a fence. So here's a city street, here's a city street, here's a city street, and here's playground equipment. You know where the children were? Clustered in the center of the playground. Then they tried it with a fence up. You know where the children were? Enjoying the whole playground. Why? They felt safer. They knew where the boundaries are. We can go to here. Other people can't come there. Everything's safe. We know where the boundaries are. We'll talk later about fluctuating boundaries and the big problem with that. But that's for later on. The difference between a boy and a pig. If you got a boy and you got a pig, and you give them both everything they want, you're going to have a good pig and a bad boy. What does the Bible say? The rod and reproof bring wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And that's not all. in the real world, when he gets out there on his own, or she gets out there, is the rest of the world going to cooperate with his little plan that he always gets his way? When he tries to get a job, is the corporation, or is the boss, or is the foreman, or is the manager, is everybody there going to be on the same page and remembering, oh yeah, by the way, Special Johnny, you know, gets everything his way? Is everybody going to be on board with the fact that this person is so special that everybody has to cater to them? Not going to happen. And you know what I think road rage is? I think it's kids that threw tantrums when they were little and they were never taught to control themselves. Some people are taught to control themselves, other people aren't. Some people grow up and they still don't know anything about controlling themselves. What about this one? Expecting misbehavior. This is different than rewarding misbehavior. Expecting misbehavior. We're not talking about wanting it. Does anybody here want your child to misbehave? You know, hoping your child misbehaves, preferring that your child misbehave. We want them to behave, but we can get trapped in a cycle of expecting them to misbehave. Let me give some examples. Oh, we can't take him to the restaurant. Why? He'll behave terribly. And somebody says, well, he will. He might right now. But you know what he's got you trained to do? To expect misbehavior. You need to change that expectation. Let me illustrate it like this. I've been told, I'm not sure, somebody here may know, but I've been told that they don't have the same kind of drill sergeants that they used to have in the Marines. But at least a few years ago, what would a Marine drill sergeant do with a bunch of new recruits? When they got there, yeah, they're going to do that. When they got there, does he think to himself, today, everybody's bed will be made to military specifications. Everybody will march perfectly. Everybody will snap to just right. Everybody will have the endurance they should have. I think that's what's going to happen. No, he doesn't think that. But does he expect that that is what's going to happen? And what happens after they've been there a few weeks, what's happening? Why did it happen? Yeah, he trained them and he expected this will happen. To that extent, and if he can train 18, 19, 20-year-olds that way, don't you think that we can train, you know, 2s and 3s and 4s and 5-year-olds, etc.? It depends on what we expect. The drill sergeant who looks at him says, well, I expect that guy to be lazy, and I expect that guy to, you know, slump during the lineup, and I expect that guy to not make his bed because he hasn't been doing it. And so we're going to expect, oh, I expect we'll fail. Well, yeah, but it needs to change. Yeah, the drill sergeant needs to change his expectations. So all this stuff like, oh, we can't take him to the restroom. There's no way Junior's going to sit still for an hour. Well, after all that sugar, he's going to be impossible. Who heard that statement? Junior heard that statement. You know what? Sugar does give you energy. It does. It's our body. You know, we take in things, and sugar can provide energy. Sugar does not make children misbehave. I've been to way too many birthday parties where there's punch and sugar-loaded cake and sugar-loaded ice cream and watch well-trained, behaved children enjoy it and have a good time and behave themselves. Now, if a child is not trained and he's determined to be rebellious and not paying attention to anything anybody says, and you give him some more fuel, well, he's got more to go on. It's kind of like a car out of control. You know, pour some more gasoline in it. Yeah, it can go some more. But the gasoline's not the problem. The fact that it's out of control is the problem. And when Mom says, oh, after all that sugar, he's going to be impossible, Junior heard what?
Go for it.
Go for it. That's right. Oh, I'll never get him to eat that. Well, not with that attitude, you won't. Sorry, my son's not much of a sharer. Well, not with that attitude, he won't be. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Change your expectations. You think, this child's going to behave badly. That's what I expect. Expect different. And train different. If you go down and get a dog from the pound, a little puppy, and you go home, do you think that right at the beginning he's going to be well trained? No. But if you expect he's going to be well trained, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to train him. Don't 10 years later have a fully grown dog that still makes messes all over the house and bites people and everything else and say, well, yeah, I just don't expect him to behave very well. Well, it's because it's not been expected. All right, next. Failing to be consistent. And this is one of the biggest things of all. In fact, the last two together are vitally important. Expect good behavior and be consistent in requiring it. I read a statement from, well, first let's look at what the Bible says. He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Sorry, I messed it up. He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Child psychologist one time wrote, and lots of times they don't know what they're talking about, that some of the child psychologists out there have known the least about children. Dr. Spock, I believe his son committed suicide. I recently was talking on this subject. There was a lady in the audience whose husband was a nationally used child psychologist. They flew him out to deal with one of the child shootings, I think the school shootings, the one out in Minnesota and such. But a friend of mine that knows the family that invited the lady, the mom, she knows the family. She said he's got a horrible relationship with his own daughter. You know, she's in total rebellion, horrible relationship. She's into goth, you know, and all the black death and everything. And yet he's, you know, getting the big bucks to be the child expert. Some of them don't know what they're talking about. I read an article one time in the paper where a child psychologist pointed out that children are kind of like gamblers. And they will go for the odds. He said, if there's a slim chance that they will win by misbehaving, they're going to go for it. So they're kind of like lottery players. Now I want to ask you a question. You've got the lottery here in Massachusetts, right? You go into a convenience store and there's a guy in front of you or a gal in front of you buying lottery tickets. I asked the guy at a little store down from us just recently, how much do people usually spend? You know, and he said, 50 to 100 bucks a week on lottery tickets. When you see them shelling out that $50, do they think that I'm going to win tonight? Yeah, they don't. They didn't win last week. They didn't win the week before. They don't think that tonight they will win. So why are they spending the $50? Because they might. Yeah, I might win tonight. And I might win next week. And I might win. They know, usually going to lose, usually going to lose, usually going to lose. But they're going for the odds. I might win, right? What would make all... Now, the odds are pretty slim right now, right? Fellow goes down here and he buys $50 worth of lottery tickets. Mathematically, what are his odds of hitting the big jackpot? Yeah. It's so tiny. But he's still doing it. What odds would it take to make him not buy the ticket? That's right. Zero. In Pennsylvania, they always say, the lottery benefits older Pennsylvanians. If next week in Pennsylvania, they announced, it's on billboards, it's on radio, and there's a sign over every lottery, you know, dispensing sales spot. We're having budget trouble. From now on, there's going to be no lottery payoffs at all. No winners. You can still scratch off just for the fun of it. Nobody will win. Your chances are not 1 in 20 million. Your chances are zero. There's not going to be a payoff. But proceeds still benefit older Pennsylvanians. What would happen to lottery sales? You know when Junior's going to start obeying? When he knows there's no way that disobeying is going to succeed. If mom and dad are inconsistent, if sometimes they enforce the rules and sometimes don't, sometimes require obedience, sometimes don't, what's Junior going to do? Yeah, he's gonna keep going for it, because guess what? Might pay off. He needs to find out that the lottery payoff has ended. The odds are now zero. And when he finds out that zip, nada, zilch, there's zero chance of him succeeding in rebelling and misbehavior, he'll stop misbehaving. Failing to be consistent encourages manipulation. When there's inconsistency, the child will manipulate. Cause and effect. Which way is the control going? Are you causing an effect upon the child of deciding, I'm going to obey the rules? Or is the child, through manipulation, causing you to back off and ignore the rules? And they can learn. They can figure out sometimes when, we're out in public. My odds just went way up. And that type of thing. Inconsistent teamwork from mom and dad. What's Junior going to do if one parent is a tough sell and the other one's a pushover? Yeah. Can I do this? No, you cannot. Hey, Mom, can I do this? Sure. He's going to manipulate that. And then if they get the front divided, get them, divide and conquer. The Bible says, he who loves him disciplines him diligently. One of the biggest challenges in parenting is be consistent. A failure to be consistent encourages exponentially misbehavior. Be consistent. And somebody give me a signal when I've got about 5 minutes.
The bell will go off 5 minutes.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. All right. Now, after that one, somebody may be thinking, I don't have time. You mean deal with every time they disobey? Well, I'd be doing nothing but dealing with every time they disobey. Welcome to the job God gave you. Let me tell you this. Spend the time to get it under control, and it's going to save time every day the rest of your life, as long as you're raising that child. And bring a lot more peace and tranquility to your life at future Thanksgivings after they're gone. One of my goals in life, and has been for many, many years, when I was in college, one of my goals in life was I'd see kids that would just like look at their parents and go, no! And I'd think, I'm not going to have a child like that. That was one of my early goals in life. After I had children, you know what my goal in life became? I want good care. I want good grandchildren. I don't want to have. I enjoy, like, when we go to Dad's and Mom when she was still alive, and go to Thanksgiving, and all the family get together, and it was people that I love and respect and such. I don't want, when I'm older and it's Thanksgiving time, I don't want a grandson coming in introducing me to his boyfriend. I don't want people coming in, with, piercings all over their face and, half their head shaved off and the other side blue. I don't want to find, try to keep track each, Thanksgiving of which, marriage is falling apart and who's in jail. And I don't want that. If you take a piece of paper and you write on it, on a pad, if you write just kind of barely writing, there's an image on the first paper, but not on the next, right? If you make a deep enough impression as you write with a ballpoint pen, say, on that first page, but shows up still when you turn to the next page. And the next. And the next. Now, it's as it goes through each generation, it starts to what? It gets less and less influence. But part of who you are, part of who you are is because of who your grandparents were or who your great-grandparents were. The farther we get away from that, the less that influence gets there. But the deeper impressions we can make can be valuable. But I digress. Let me come back to this. Thinking I don't have time. You know what that's like? That's like saying, oh, my daughter has lice? Well, I don't have time to deal with that right now. We'll deal with it later. Is that a good idea? If you find out that one of your girls has lice, big head of hair, and they've got lice, what do you need to do? Yeah, when? Well, but I don't have time. You know, I was going to go to the store, and I've got to go do this, and I've got to drop her off at soccer practice, and I don't have time to deal with her lice right now. So what's going to happen? Those little guys are reproducing, laying eggs, you know, and just boom, boom. Oh, it's worse, you know. Oh, now this one has lice. Have you ever noticed how misbehavior can spread among kids? This one starts getting away with sassing off and such. What's the next one do? It starts spreading. Oh, now I really don't have time. What do you do when you realize there's a lice problem in the house? Yeah, you deal with it until it gets done. Child training time is well invested time, and it saves time. Would you rather spend, like if you have a chaotic situation in the house, this child's not in control, this child's not in control, and oh, how am I going to deal with this? Do you want that every day from now on? So what do? Invest the time in getting it under control so that future days... And you know what? Some of the times when... I've seen times when some of my children have really challenged and really gotten in trouble and realized it's not going to work. And you know what they are after that? After their most rebellious stages, sometimes they're the sweetest after that. After it failed, after it didn't work, after they were punished, and they were disciplined and trained to the point that they felt sorry for what they did. And then, you know how they do? They run up, they hug your neck, they're happy, they're clinging to you, and then they're going and playing. And that kind of sour disposition that maybe had been settling in for a couple of days before that, it's gone. Child training time, well invested time, and it saves time. All discipline, Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, seems not joyful but sorrowful. Yet afterwards, what does it yield? Peaceful fruit. He who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Here's another big one. Another mistake that we can slip into all too easily. Thank you. Failing to control self. I'm not in a good position to control my child if I can't control myself, am I? The motivation of discipline is to be what? The biblical motivation for disciplining a child is what? Love. Not anger, vengeance, frustration. Love. That's the proper motivation. The difference between discipline and abuse. Let me back up there. Discipline and abuse. Discipline is out of love. It's not harmful to the child. It's going to hurt when he gets a spanking, but it's not damaging to the child. It's for the child's good. It comes from a parent that loves the child. Abuse, and there's a world of people out there that abuse. Sure. And it can be just depending on the parent's mood. You know, if they're in a good mood, the child can misbehave, and there's nothing, they're in a bad mood. You know, that's just abuse. That's not discipline. That's child abuse. And a lot of those people need to be dealt with by the authorities. But here's another type of abuse. I was watching a program one time where a man and woman that kind of hosted the program were interviewing a child expert. And he was going through the child, the popular mantra of saying that we should never spank children. He said, and of course we should never, of course instead of spanking they call it hit a child. We should never hit a child. And the lady who's got like a 2-year-old said, well, I have a 2-year-old, and if, like, if he's going to touch a knife or something sharp, you know, I'll go, no, no. And he goes, and it's important to know that that's wrong. Somebody up in the back says, I have a problem. I'm just yelling at my children. Just all the time I find myself just yelling at my children. And the child expert goes, don't worry about that. We all yell at our children. I have a 3- and a 4-year-old. We all yell. No! Not all parents yell at their children. Not all parents have to yell at their children. Parents that lovingly train their children don't need to yell at their children. You know what that is? I think that's pretty abusive. What do you think's healthy for the child? Say, oh, did you disobey? What did Daddy say? Daddy said, put it back. And what did you do? I didn't put it back. Oh, no. Did you disobey? What do you got to get? Spanking. That's right. Then give them the spanking and say, would you like to say you're sorry? And they say, I'm sorry. And they get their hug and they go. Is that bad for a child? How about this? Stop it. Put that down. No. No. I said, put that down. No. Stop. Stop. Put that. Stop it. Stop. Put that. You put that down. You don't put. Is that damaging for a child? That's horrible. But you know what? That's the parenting style of a lot of people. I want to come back to that in a minute because I have an illustration that's going to take 3 or 4 minutes, and we only got a minute or two left. Let me jump down to the next thing here. Sometimes somebody, their child, they go through these things. You know, don't make me tell you again. Don't, you know, I'm going to count to 10. Did you hear me? Did you, you know, and one time I saw mom, she kept telling the child, don't do that. Put that down. No, don't do that. No. He just looked at her and went ahead and got it. She goes, I'm going to get him a hearing aid. What a problem. And sometimes my mom and dad go, why won't he obey? Nobody's requiring him to obey. And don't do this. Sometimes as parents, we're going to be frustrated. Our job is not to take our frustration out on the child by abusing them. And our job is not to take our frustrations out on the child by emotionally and verbally abusing them. You stop and think, if you're 4 years old or 6 years old, there's a lot of things you don't know. You know you want your way, maybe, but do you know how to drive a car? No. Do you know how to cook the pancakes? No. Do you know how to make this thing work, that thing work? No. Who knows all those things? Mom and Dad. How scary then is it to have Mom or Dad say this? What's wrong with you? I don't know what's wrong with you. What have I just said to that child? Yeah, I just told that child, there's something wrong with you, and I don't know what it is. That's a pretty discouraging message, isn't it? There may be something wrong with the training I've been giving, and the inconsistency, and it's resulted in allowing you to misbehave. I need to fix that. But I don't need to dump it on the kid's shoulders by saying, there's something you're just made wrong. And I don't know what it is. Don't do that to the child. And different children will later talk about have different capabilities. But expect the child within that child's capabilities to do what's good. And don't discourage them with that kind of emotional abuse. We'll stop right there and pick up back at this later. Thank you very much.